Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on tonight's episode, can a heated football rivalry survive even in death? A child's spirit seems to love to play with toys in the loft of a family home. And a listener finds the activity in his apartment increases as soon as a cantankerous neighbor passes away. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi there.
I don't use the word cantankerous enough in sentences.
Really?
I should. It's a fun word.
It is. I like it. It's kind of up there with curmudgeon. That's another good one.
I like that. You know, another word I like that's kind of older in terms?
Huh.
Fisticuffs.
Okay.
For fighting.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, that ended in fisticuffs. It's just funny to say that because it sounds like something like an 85-year-old grandmother would say.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes out of a 30-some-year-old person, you know, and just regular everyday talking, kind of makes people look. It's like, what? What's going on? You know? Although I don't want to be like hipster or anything, but I think it'd be funny to use more often. Should pick a new word every day and just try and go out in public and start using it to people randomly at the Walmart.
Or you can practice using words you already say wrong.
That'd be great. If I just can get down the basics, then before I start going into the more particular words, I should get the basics down before I move up a level.
There you go.
Just we'll make a little thing on a chalkboard door over there. Words Tony should learn today. And be like, we'll do vocabulary. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways, as you know, to get your stories over to us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And we would absolutely love to hear them. We will kick off the show today with a letter from David. David writes in, hello, my name is David, and I'm writing to you from Canada. Well, I've always had an interest in what ghosts could be. I have only had one experience of my own that caused me to believe that I might actually have witnessed something. First, I need to explain some background. My family is made up of very serious football fans. In the 1980s, we were living in the province of Saskatchewan and became very hardcore Sask Rough Riders fans, okay? Several years ago, my eldest sister moved to Calgary in neighboring Alberta for work. She and her husband purchased a home built in the early 1900s, which was owned by one of the founders of the Calgary Stampeders Football Club, a rival of our beloved... It's Riders, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. This owner had passed away in the house in the 1940s. My sister had spent about a year in the house and had become aware of strange things going on, and we'd occasionally get an email from her with quick stories of the oddities. A couple of years ago, the Riders and the Stampeders were involved in a playoff game in Regina. As I was visiting her at the time, we watched the game from her house in Calgary. The game was very close and the tension in the house was very high. As fortune would have it, the Riders scored a touchdown in the dying moments to put the game out of reach. There's a loud roar as everyone in the house cheered. Well, not everyone, it seems. At that very moment, a drawer of the china cabinet in the dining room, which we could see from the living room, flew open and crashed on the floor. And within what seemed like less than a second, every door in the upstairs of the house slammed shut. My sister's dog, a spaniel, came rushing down the stairs and then just sat at the bottom of the stairs looking up, occasionally growling at nothing we could see. Could these events have been caused by us jumping out of our chairs into the floors of an old house? Yes, I suppose. But given the other incidents my sister had reported and given whose house it was originally, it certainly raised her eyebrows, and I've come to believe that the original owner is none too pleased to have a Ryder fan living in his house. In my travels around Canada and the world, that is the only ghostly experience I've ever witnessed personally, although I do keep looking for others. Thanks, you have a great show. David.
You know, I'm thinking it is probably the rivalry that brought the ghost out, because there's few things that spark so much emotion, good and bad, as people that are diehard sports fans.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
I wonder how many hauntings there are in my home state of Wisconsin, especially like in the Green Bay area. Those are some hardcore folks.
Oh, yeah.
Although, here's the thing. You don't necessarily commonly have someone there that is not into the Packers,
yeah,
if you will. But I could very well see something very similar to that happening. Should you say have like a Bears fan moving into like a real hardcore Packers house that passed away, or a Dallas fan or a Minnesota fan moving in there. I could see that causing some interesting friction between the living and the dead. That would be an interesting episode all into itself.
Sports fans.
Sports, yeah.
Sports spirits.
Sports spirits, essentially spirits that are only, I guess, arisen or awoken when there's a game going on and it's a rival between the ghost and the living. I wonder if there's more of that. I would think there would be. And it's a very simple concept. I'm surprised one we haven't heard more of, honestly. Although I wonder if it's one that people don't necessarily think of right away when they have something paranormal going on. If they're just sitting around their house on a Sunday or something and watching a game, and suddenly activity starts going on, the first thing you're probably thinking is not, oh, this ghost or whatever is causing this activity probably doesn't like my team. You know,
yeah.
It's probably not the go-to thought process. But it may open up a ball of, you know, worms for somebody who's had things like that happen, going, oh, hey, I didn't think of that. We can't figure out what's triggering it, but it happens when we're at home. We're usually home on Sunday afternoons. But we're not doing anything different. There you go. It's only during football season or whatever, you know. What insert team and season here.
Yeah.
I could see that.
That would be interesting to have stories.
Yeah. If you have a sports-related fanatical ghost in your home, give us a call at 855-853-4802. Could you appease that ghost with the right game day snacks?
Oh, I think it just depends on what team they're rooting for.
But sometimes it doesn't. I'm not really hardcore into any sport, but you know, it does kind of make some of the tension go down in a party or a room when there's some, you know, real hardcore folks who essentially hate the other team, you know, with a vengeance, and you have the two fans in the room together, if there's good enough snacks.
Yeah.
If the dip is good enough, then all is better. You know, if you have some good nachos. I wonder if nachos can cure things in death as well.
Nachos can save the world.
That's going to be the title of my book. Nachos Can Save the World, a book about ghosts.
There you go.
By Tony Brisky. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go over to Christine. Hello, friends. I have another story for you. When my second child was an infant, I'd watch my show at night after putting him and my older daughter, who was 2 years old, down at the time to bed. One night, I had just sat down with my snack, lights out, to watch my show. Did they ever say what show it is, or does this always end up with my show?
My show.
I want to know what the show is.
I know.
It's probably something really embarrassing.
Like what?
I don't know. Baywatch?
She's not going to sit down to watch Baywatch.
That's why it'd be really embarrassing to watch Baywatch. I mean, I don't care who you are. It'd just be really, that's my show. You got to watch the Baywatch. But I would love to know what the show is. Before I could hardly get started watching the show, I hear what I believe to be my daughter up and running across the loft upstairs. I was a little annoyed as this was my time to relax. So I go upstairs and check on my daughter, and she is fast asleep. I was then quite freaked out because I was sure of what I heard. Now, fast forward a couple of years, it was sometime after 3:30 a.m., and my husband had already left for work. My son, now two, was sleeping in my bed with me. I woke up because I kept hearing music coming from the loft just outside my bedroom. It was like when you're so tired and your alarm clock is going off. When you finally wake, you know it was going off for a while, but it takes you a while to wake up enough to acknowledge it. So when I opened my eyes, I could see the lights reflecting on the wall and the music of my kid's toy playing. At first, I was a little freaked out and didn't move. I was hoping it would stop, as I know that sometimes when batteries are running low, toys will go off on their own. It kept going. So I decided to get up and go turn it off. As soon as I got to the doorway, it stopped. I quickly went to turn the off switch on off. When I got back into bed, my half-awake son asks me who was playing with the toy. I don't know if these stories are related. Someone suggested that it may have been the spirit of my unborn child coming to play before her arrival. She didn't come for another two more years. I'm curious to hear what you guys think. Thanks for doing the show. I'm hooked and continue to binge listen to the episodes.
Do you think spirits of unborn children can come before their time?
We've heard stories of that before.
I know. So
I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't feel like I'm in a place to judge yes or no on it. Other than just saying, we've heard stories of it, or at least that's what the assumption was of that's what, the evidence pointed to.
I know we've had quite a few stories of people knowing things like from their parents' life before, like having images in their mind of their parents' wedding and having never seen the photos or things like that, or knowing details that nobody else would know.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder how early your spirit does arrive.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's an interesting thought,
yeah,
though, because it's not the first story, like I said.
Yeah.
We've had on that, so I could see that possibly being the case.
I think either way, it's a child spirit.
Yeah.
That's there.
Without a doubt, there. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Be sure to press the subscribe button on whatever platform it is you like to listen to us on. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube. You press subscribe, the shows come directly to you, and you don't miss any of them, and it helps us climb those charts. So we do appreciate that support there. Mike writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's been a while since I wrote, but listening to your podcast, I had a realization about some events in my life that allows for some cohesion. Unfortunately, it gets a little long, so I have to resort to the retelling and not include my internal fears as much. Hopefully, it's still unnerving. I live in a small two-story apartment complex with five apartments on an island off of San Diego, California. The front doors were all arranged around a small courtyard with two apartments in the front, one underneath mine in the back, and the fifth was between the four others over the laundry and meter rooms. My apartment door was at the top of the staircase. It led up to the landing for the fifth and my place. The two doors were right next to each other in the back corner. A woman lived in the fifth with her dying father, and they had a balcony just past their doorway. My balcony was an extension of the landing for our front doors. I explain all this because I would go out on my balcony and smoke. The woman would sometimes do the same on hers. I noticed on occasion her father could cough when I was out there, and I asked her one time if my smoking was a problem. She assured me it was not, and besides that, she smoked as well. I still felt bad because the father used a respirator, and I was living there when he died. I lived in the three-bedroom apartment with my brother and my best friend. Both of them were military, and they left to go on a year-long deployment at about the same time as each other. My friend locked up his room while he was gone, and my brother allowed a mutual friend, his ex-girlfriend, to stay in his room. While they were gone, two other girls partially moved in and slept on the couch on occasion. I made the connection only as I sat to write this between the death of the old man and the things that happened, which is why I included that part. I remember one time after the man had died, I came home to find the woman on her balcony and nervous. She told me she had seen some large rat and was panicked. She described it as I laughed because she described a possum. I told her not to worry, the island was full of them. She said she knew the place was full of cockroaches, but had never seen a possum. The next morning, I woke to find a cockroach on the pillow next to my head. It was the only one I've ever seen while living there. During this time, I was in my early 20s. I worked at a pizza place and spent all my other waking hours partying and drinking, with the inclusion of the three females living there. My house became an almost nightly hangout for drinking games and gatherings after work. It was this behavior that led me to ignore or play down events. For instance, one day I woke to find my kitchen covered in flies. I was prone to bring pizza and leave the leftovers in boxes out for longer than was healthy, so when the flies were everywhere, I thought it was that. They remained strictly in the kitchen. They were never found on any food, and often they took to gatherings on the screen of the nearby window. This problem went on for about 2 weeks. One time, I saw them all collected on the screen, and taking the opportunity, I quickly slammed shut the window. Next morning, I went to check on the screen, and it was clear. There were no dead flies at all, and none in the kitchen. I never had the problem again. Occasionally, I'd find myself alone, and when that happened, I watched TV in the living room. The front door entered into the space with the one wall of the living room, and the sliding doors led to my balcony. We had a wraparound couch that faced the other corner with the TV. I'd be sitting there watching whatever, often comedies, and suddenly get this unnerving sense of dread, like angry eyes were upon me. It wasn't just a vague sensation. It would always stem from the corner besides the front door and next to our computer desk. I would look in that corner, and I could almost picture an old man staring at me with hatred. This happened frequently. One time, my brother's ex and I were the only ones home. She was in the kitchen doing dishes. I was going around the apartment to gather the trash. The living room was separated from the dining room by a half wall with four columns reaching the ceiling. From the dining room, a small entrance to the back wall led to the narrow kitchen. By the front door, after the space for the computer desk, a hall ran down the rest of the place. To the left, down the hall, was the bathroom. The right was my bedroom. At the end of the hall was my friend's locked room. On the right, my brother's master bedroom on the left. A hall closet with a series of doors was just before my brother's room. Like the eyes in the corner, at the end of the hall would be shrouded in darkness and just create a sense of unease. The feeling worsened when often I would look and feel like something was looking back at the darkness. And the darkness would seem to expand, reaching closer and closer and towards me until I would just have to be somewhere else. I avoided that end of the apartment as much as I could. But there I was, gathering trash, and I had to get what was in my brother's ex's bedroom and bathroom. I looked down the hall and saw one of the doors of the hall closet hanging open. I noticed the darkness, but was in no spooky frame of mind, so I headed down. I stopped to close the door, held it open as I looked in my brother's room. It was pitch black. More than I've ever felt it, looking into that void, I just knew something was looking back, and whatever it was not happy. I tried to tell myself it was my imagination, that I couldn't let it get me since I had to go in there. It didn't help that I had no working switch by the door, and I had to reach the bathroom before I could turn on a light. But as I started, this feeling continued of something staring back, and I could feel the anger rising. I didn't want to look foolish in front of the girl and have to explain why I didn't grab her trash, but the feeling just worsened, and I stood unsure of what to do. Then I heard a smash and a clank and a clatter, and something was thrown and tossed in the room. That was it. I slammed closed the door and closed the closet and ran back into the living room. I looked down the hall for some time before deciding it wasn't an intruder but something else. Even that quickly, I began to doubt what I had experienced. The front door was open with the screen closed to get a breeze, and I stepped out and headed down the stairs towards a dumpster. Something made me pause, and I stopped and turned. When I did, I saw movement head down the hallway through the screen. It was brief and so quick I couldn't be sure, but it looked like I had focused on the legs of the ex heading to her room. I called her and she responded and said she was still in the kitchen. It was only then I realized I noticed the legs because that was all there was to see. Later I told her about this, and while she didn't get the same vibes and sounds, she did say one time she showered and had 5 coins drop out of the air and onto her head. Another time, one of the columns fell, almost hitting someone, and one of the other girls swears she saw a hand reach up on the balcony, despite the second floor being too high up for someone to reach from below. Another time I came from the bar, drunk, plopped down on the couch. As I swayed back and forth, lulling my head, a deep, horrible growl came from beside me in my ear. A moment later, there was a gnashing sound, and I felt a vice grip squeeze on my arm. Too drunk to react, I grunted in annoyance and pain and just fell over, passing out. I tried to chalk it up to my imagination as I was so drunk, but the truth was revealed. Teeth marks were bruised onto my arm, and they remained there for close to 2 months. Another time, I had a strange out-of-body experience where I could see the corner of my bedroom and sort of a border around a smaller image of the same thing. The border remained on the image of the counter, but the inner picture had me getting up and out of bed and through the living room and out the front door and down the stairs. I woke up in bed extremely disoriented. The last major event was unpleasant. I had a particularly bad stretch of drinking, and I don't remember what I did about clothes, but it was 2 weeks of passing out on the couch, barely setting foot in my bedroom during this time. At the end of that period, I finally had cause to go in there. The room was a mess as I had left it, with clothes scattered and strewn everywhere, but in the laundry basket I had sitting in the middle of the floor. As I stepped in, I made a note of that irony, and looking in the basket, I saw something. I moved closer to see what it was. Sitting in the basket, something had been born and had died. It looked like someone, or some kind of pink possum fetus. Could have been a dead rat with some weird membrane around it as it decayed. I couldn't be sure. A line of feces ran from the corpse through one of the holes in the basket. I don't know what it was, but it freaked me out, and after throwing it out with the basket, I upended my room and looked for any other creatures. There were no other signs, and I never had any more problems again, much like the flies. Eventually, the woman next door moved, and two cute French girls moved in. About that time, the ex left to move in with a new boyfriend, and my friend had returned from his deployment. All activity stopped. I don't know if it was the old man mad at my smoking and he had aided in his passing, if that was the case, but it is only now I realize how close those time frames sync up, and the fact that I could visualize an old angry man and the fact that it stopped when his daughter left. It's so strange how, as these things happen, you can do so much to justify logically what you're seeing. Even now, I doubt much of the things that I'd experienced, whether it was alcohol-fueled delusions or simply childish embellishment. Now, it's just the house sitting, or a cloud moving past the moon. But I believe my internal gauge, that meter that lets you know something is off and not natural, and I refuse to deny my meter has been in the red. Thank you guys for all you do. Mike from all over.
I'm thinking that it may have been the old man next door, but I don't think you aided in his demise with smoking on your balcony.
You killed the neighbor, man.
You know, he may have been just purposely coughing while you were smoking, just kind of a, hey, the reason I'm on a respirator is because I smoked for like 60 years.
Sure. That, hey, I'm on a respirator and you are smoking next to me.
Yeah, but...
And the daughter did too.
Yeah.
He just, I don't blame him for being cantankerous.
He was probably just pissed off that he was dead and just wanted to mess with somebody.
I don't know. I think there's a lot darker things going on in this story. I don't think it was the old man at all.
Okay.
I don't think it had anything to do with the old guy.
Then why did it leave when she left?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like a lot of other things changed in his world, too, at that same time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if maybe some of the partying and all of that calmed down around that time. I'm thinking, this is just my, you know, guess on this, but folks who are continuously intoxicated for, you know, weeks on end, you know, and there's lots of them in the place, because that's kind of sounded like what the lifestyle was going on there. I think you can pretty much open yourself up to a lot of weird shit.
Yeah.
That could just kind of come in. And I think it may have just been a hotbed for that for a while he was living that lifestyle.
Okay.
And not just him alone, but all the other people he was surrounding himself with as well. And I just think it might have been just a supercharged battery for some dark shit to be popping up. And it may have been all different things. I don't know if it was just one necessarily haunting or one entity or something, but I don't necessarily think the old man was gnawing on his arm.
No, I agree with that. But I just think the timing is very...
Sure.
Very coincidental.
It is. It's suspect timing. I agree there.
And yes, there was a lot of changes that went on when the neighbor left, but I don't know.
That's just my feeling. Are you going to go with old man?
I'm just surprised it didn't happen before the old man died.
I am too. I wonder if it peaked after. And if, I don't know. That's my guess.
We don't usually have opposing points of view.
There we go.
There we go.
That's the end of the show. It's been fun, everybody. See you later. There you go. That's my take. That's your take.
Sounds good.
All right. 855-853-48. You're completely wrong, but I'm kidding.
See who's wrong later.
That's not how I feel. I'm completely kidding. No, I think it's good. I mean that there's two different views on this.
Okay.
I like that. 855-853-4802 is the phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to a caller.
Hey, guys. Hi. Christina, cut me off again. I guess I don't say it fast enough, so I'll just go pretty quickly. Childhood home, very haunted. The closet in my room would open if I asked someone to open it, not knowing who that someone was, but it was one of those closet doors that were really, really hard to open. Like, there was a technique you had to... twist it, pull it up, and then you had to pull it out. And whenever you asked it to, you know, I would say once I turn the light off, open the door, and it would be so smooth. Like, there would be no budging or anything like that. My keyboard would type in the middle of the night. I would put the word pad on. The only letter that it typed was the letter S. Not sure if that signifies anything. I had a water bottle thrown on my head. My TV would turn on and off after I unplugged it. I had to take that out because it freaked me out so bad. We had a hallway ghost. When you were sitting watching TV on the couch, you would see him at the corner of your eye. We had a laundry ghost that you would just see hands holding laundry, but, you know, we would go in the laundry room, so laundry would be folded. So we had the dish ghost, which he or she would... it would sound like they were putting dishes away from the dishwasher, but no one would, like, you would go in there and there wouldn't be anything. I wish they would do my chores, and that would have been awesome growing up, but what are you going to do? It was Halloween night one night. My sister and I were watching a movie. It was probably some Freddy or Jason movie. And my family was away. They weren't supposed to get back for another couple of hours. And all of a sudden, the cabin door, the pantry door opened and all these potatoes fell out, and I was like, oh, that's kind of fucking creepy. So I go to pick them up, and all of a sudden I hear the deadbolt lock, because, you know, growing up in the 90s, you never really had to lock your door, because it was kind of I know it was kind of stupid to leave your door unlocked, but everyone was neighbor, like, we were all friendly neighbors and stuff like that, so we trusted people. So the deadbolt locked, and I was like, well, that's really fucking weird. So I go back to sit down, made sure that it was locked because I got kind of creeped out thinking that someone was trying to get in or something. But not even an hour later, someone tried breaking in, and the alarm started going off and stuff like that. But whatever, I don't know if it was my guardian angel or what, or my sister's guardian angel, but whatever it was saved our lives that night, because I'm sure if the door hadn't been locked, he would have got in, or she would have got in, and, you know, it wouldn't have been pretty. So, I mean, growing up, I experienced a lot of shit. My mom, she says that my house used to be a funeral home before they moved in. There was black walls, blood red carpet, very just, I don't know, dark. So I don't know exactly. I don't know why she thinks it was a funeral home, but I don't know if someone lived, whoever lived in there before, you know, I don't know if they played Ouija boards or whatever they did, but that house was really fucking haunted. We had the carbon monoxide or whatever, tested. There was none of that leaking. And it wasn't just me that experienced all this. my whole family did. So, and I had four sisters growing up, my mom and dad, and then my grandparents moved in with us. So that's a lot of people to experience paranormal shit in one house, one little 4 or 5 bedroom house. So, pretty sure I was haunted. So I just wanted to call and tell you guys that story. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I love you guys. I'll take care.
I'm glad that they went ahead and checked the carbon monoxide since they were all seeing it, because that's unusual for everybody when there's that many people to see it.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the good, you know, narrow this down approach.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a wise move. I don't remember in the 90s ever feeling quite so secure, though, to keep everything unlocked.
Yeah. And I grew up out in the country, and we locked our doors because there was people that would go out in the country just to rob.
Because they thought the country folk would be like, oh, they're leaving the doors open. They still think it's 1960.
Yeah, they thought it was Mayberry out there.
Some folks did, I think, but we still locked everything. I mean, my parents were obsessive about it.
Yeah.
So it's probably not a bad thing to be obsessive about when it comes to like safety like that. But I agree. I think it was probably something good that was looking out for them in that particular situation. So. It was a good call and a good story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to Peter. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. My name is Peter Milady. I think I've called you twice before. You actually used one of my stories. I was the individual who called in that my dog was starting to act kind of weird when we were out on a walk. We stayed in Denver, Colorado. I couldn't see anything, but the dog looked like it could. Eventually, after a couple of nights, I actually saw a dog, an individual, disappeared in front of me and then it disappeared. So like that. On that note, I never got an explanation for it. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was supernatural or I just didn't see the guy come up. But never got any answer on that, but it was definitely kind of weird. So that was that. But other story I had, and this one actually concerns my grandmother from World War II. I was raised in Scotland. My mother's side of the family is Scottish. She was born there. And I find out that my grandmother was actually, her family is descended from a family called the Baxters, from what I was told. And about 200 years ago or so, they were witches in Dundee, Scotland. I don't know much about the story, but supposedly it's kind of big there. Just interesting. So, but the story concerning her was this one. Back in World War II, she had 6 children, 3 boys, 3 girls. She was in her apartment one night. My grandfather was gone. So she was there by herself, the 2 youngest daughters, which was my mother and her younger sister. So, and she was there just puttering around, doing the stuff around the house. And she heard somebody come in. And then she heard, you know, she asked who it was. And she heard one of my uncles say, oh, Mom, it's just me, blah, blah, blah. So she thought it was one of my uncles, which I think it was my Uncle Pete or my Uncle Bert. Anyway, goes on doing stuff. About 5 minutes later, she hears him going, hey, Mom, I'm going out. I'm going to go to the pictures, movies, and out you go. So that was that. Where they stayed was in Dundee over in Scotland. It wasn't really bombed that much during World War II because it wasn't a big target, but it was still bombed a few times. And this night was one of the nights it got bombed. And the movie theater was actually hit by a bomb as well. And my grandmother heard this, I don't know, she may have seen it from her house or her apartment, and obviously she saw this or heard it, so she's all worried, up in arms, thinking her son is being bombed, basically, in the movie theater. She can't leave because she's got the two youngest kids there. My grandfather's not there, so she's basically on her own with us, and she's kind of freaking out from what I heard, what I was told. This story was told to me by my mother. So that was going on. While this is going on, she hears a door open, and she hears my uncle's voice going, "Hey, Mom, it's me. I'm okay. Everything's fine." And that's it. She feels great, great relief. Her son's fine and everything else. Now she can go about doing her stuff. Now she's like, "Oh, great. I was really worried about you," like that. Remember, she just heard the voice. She was in one of the other rooms. She had the front door open, and he came in and said that, supposedly. Now, about 10 minutes pass, she hears the door open again, and in walks my uncle, supposedly the one who had just talked to her 10 minutes ago. And she looked at him and asked him where he'd been, and he said, "Oh, I just got in. I was out." He goes, "You didn't just come in 10 minutes ago, tell me you were fine?" And he said, "Nope. He just got in right now." She goes, "Did you go to the pictures, the movies?" He's like, "I was going to, but changed my mind at the last minute. Went to the pub, had a couple of drinks, which was lucky because we had the movie theater got bombed." So that was that. And she's like, "But you didn't come in here 10 minutes ago." And she kept asking him that. And she finally asked her why. And she said she was all worried about him. And then she heard somebody come in the house and tell her that, in his voice, that he was fine. And he was like, "Well, it wasn't me. I don't know what it was or anything else." And there was nobody else in the house with her, apart from the two kids. So, don't know what it was, but something came in there and told her that her son was fine, which he was. Whether it was a ghost, I don't know how it could be a ghost because he wasn't dead. But it was using his voice. Maybe some type of subconscious projection from him. But he said he didn't even think about anything like that. And anyway, so that's that. So voice telling her that everything's fine. Not really creepy. A little bit long. I know I'm long-winded. But hope you guys enjoyed it. Like I said, finding out things about my family from that side over in Scotland. There's a few more stories, I'm sure. But really enjoy your guys' show. I'm going to become an EPP. I just moved from Denver to Washington State, so I'm getting settled there. But like I said, really enjoy your show. Very interesting. Stories are great. You guys do a great job. And thank you very much.
Thank you for writing in or calling in and sharing your story with us this evening. Interesting, interesting story. Do you think it was some sort of a projection from the son to reassure the mom?
You know, it could be one of those living ghost situations where, you know, even though he wasn't directly in a life-threatening situation,
mm-hmm.
she, you know, perceived that he was.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's kind of unusual. Do you think anything about possibly the amount of stress she would have been under thinking that her son was in the theater that just got bombed
mm-hmm.
have something to do with that, with seeing that?
I think it all, I mean, you mean like making her more susceptible to
mm-hmm.
almost pulling it out of her son?
Maybe.
Pulling the information out, like in a subconscious?
Not so much pulling it out, but more just, you know, because of that extreme duress that any mm-hmm. parent would feel thinking their child was just in a bombed building.
Sure.
Wonder if that maybe opened her up to whatever it was that came.
Okay. What about the idea that it was something she so badly wanted to hear, she just thought she heard it and it wasn't anything paranormal at all. It was completely psychological.
Well, that could be it, too. But I tend to lean more towards the, you know, the paranormal side
sure.
of things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do see your point on that. What about, here's another one, to keep whipping them at you of different ideas.
Whip another point.
Whip another point.
Okay.
Here we go. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Catch. Here's what about all the folks who were in that theater? Lots of folks dead. So lots of spirits being disseminated out of that area at that moment in time. What about one just trying to do a good deed, saw someone in distress and just wanted and had the knowledge or somehow that the son was okay and was just trying to do a good thing before they were moving on? Or were confused and thought it was their own mom? I don't know. That's kind of a far-fetched one. But
that is kind of a far-fetched one. I think that would be, I mean, has there ever been a moment of mortality ghost that showed up at the wrong place?
I would be that ghost. I would be the one that would do something like that. Oh, wrong house. Yeah. Sorry. Because you probably can't access like Google Maps and stuff at that point. So if you're trying to track down someone,
yeah,
you're not quite sure where they're at, you could easily be at the wrong place. And you're just, and you know, you have like limited energy. And I'd be like so giddy just to say something to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like if for some reason I thought somebody was at a restaurant or something, I would burst in as the ghost and I would just relay my message like, ah, shit, they just left, you know, and now I can't get it out. That's kind of how I would be.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I suppose it's anything's possible.
Yeah.
Really. I don't know. Interesting story. They would love to hear more from him sometime.
I think he should look more into his ancestry with the Baxters and Dundee.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot out there. He just needs to kind of narrow down, you know, which line of Baxters it was. If you Google Baxter, witches, Dundee, a ton of stuff comes up.
As being witches?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what he was saying back during the witch craze.
Okay.
And, yeah, apparently they were burning the witches at the stake there in Dundee. So,
jeez.
Yeah, you either got drowned or you got burned.
Wonder how that comes up on Ancestry.com.
I don't know.
And it's like, oh, look at all these old pictures of your ancestors. And it's like they're smiling. And, you know, they're usually like on the ads, they're always like really, you know, warm, fuzzy pictures of, you know, things. Also, there's like, oh, there's great, 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 great grandma's. Burning at the stake.
Yeah.
And the villagers took the photo. That's not, that probably would not work in the next Ancestry marketing campaign.
No, probably not. But it is interesting to look into.
It really is. 855-853-4802 is our number. Sarah in Rhode Island.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Sarah from Newport News. And this is the first time I'm calling in. And I know this is kind of weird, but I don't really have anybody else to call at this time, so I figured I'd call you guys, because what else am I supposed to do? There's literally a floating light in my room as we speak, and I've knelt on my bed, and I've put my hand in front of the window, in between the window and the light, and I've literally been able to circle this thing with my hand. I'm too afraid to touch it. But basically it looks like the North Star is in my room right now. And, I really don't know how to feel about it. I've had multiple experiences in my past, including, you know, a shadow man and whatnot, things moving, cabinets opening, doors creaking, throughout my entire life in multiple homes, but I've never quite had anything like this. And, when I turn on the light, it goes away. When I turn off the light, it comes back. It's not on the ceiling. It's not on the wall. It's literally kind of floating over my bed. And, I didn't notice it until a couple, maybe 20 minutes ago. And I've just kind of been staring at it and almost experimenting with it. I really have no way to explain the star being my room, but there it is. And I tried to take a picture of it, but unfortunately the room's just showing up black and I don't know how to turn the flash on my camera. Not that I'm sure that would work, but I just wanted to kind of call in and maybe quell some of my fears of this thing. It doesn't really make me scared. It just disturbs me that there's a floating light in my room and that I can't explain it. I will say, though, however, that there is a thunderstorm going outside, and that does not affect the light of this or shadows on it. It literally is a pinprick of a light. It literally looks like a star in the sky. a bright star in the sky, and I don't know how to explain it. I put my hand all around it, and it hasn't gone away. It's in the same spot. It's not moving. It's not doing anything. It's just there, a 3D form. It's been in my room floating within midair, and tried to call my mom, but she wouldn't pick up because it's a little late. But yeah, it's just there. So I just wanted to kind of say it out loud, maybe to feel like I'm not totally insane, or maybe be able to sleep tonight. So I appreciate what you guys do, and I will definitely call in if I know I'm going to have further experiences because they've been happening my whole life, and I'll call in with those too. But you always say call in with your experiences while they're happening if you can. So here's mine right now as I'm speaking. So thank you again. The community is great, and I appreciate every day what you guys do. I listen to you every day. So I'm glad I have this venue to kind of talk about what others would think I'm insane about, or try to rationalize more so than I've already tried to rationalize. So thank you, and have a great day, night, or morning, whatever you're experiencing at the time you receive this call. Bye.
Who are you going to call? Tony and Jenny.
Wow. We got one that was in progress.
We got one. That was very interesting. What was it? I don't know. I had a boss that would oftentimes tell me that very similar thing as to what she's describing. Essentially, it sounds like an orb of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Visible, very slow moving, just kind of hanging out there. And it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And he never really could explain it. His wife apparently was very comfortable with this. He would just be kind of, it only would happen when she was around, and he'd just be laying in bed. He'd tell me these things because he knew I'd be the one who would actually believe him.
Uh-huh.
And he knew I was going to be quitting the job shortly, so what did he have to lose? He was a good boss. I really did like him. I won't give out his name. Would tell me that they'd be laying in bed, and he would just see this orb type thing floating up in the sky. Mm-hmm. I mean, similar to like what you said you saw,
right,
when you were a kid and your parents saw it too.
Yes.
He would tap his wife and say, honey, there's like a white ball of light floating above us. And she would just brush over to him and go, oh, that's just my spirit guide.
There you go. No reason to worry.
And go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't even look at it. Didn't even like, you know, oh, that's odd. There's a ball of light floating in our room. No, just as my spirit guide. Go back to sleep. That was totally, totally. I don't think I could ever be that nonchalant about it, even if I did like come to be very comfortable with the idea, or it became a norm. And like every night there was a floating light above me. I think every day of my life there was a floating light above me, I would still be in awe that there was a floating light above me. Even in the middle of the night, like, oh, look at that shit.
You wouldn't feel better knowing that your spirit guide's looking out, keeping you safe while you sleep?
I would feel fine about it, but I would still not be that dismissive of it.
Oh.
Or just, you know, it's just a, yeah. I would still be in awe that it's there.
But it may be something that she'd experienced her whole life.
Again, I think I would still be. So I think that's one of those things where no matter how many times you experience it, it would still be pretty amazing.
Now, I think as far as Sarah right here, mm-hmm. I think it's kind of telling that she didn't know how to feel about it, because that tells me if she didn't experience fear right away, that it probably was not something that needed to be feared.
Sure.
And I think that not knowing how to feel about it is more just kind of like what you're talking about, just kind of the, there's something going on in my room and I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But if it had been, I think, really bad, she would have felt that right away.
Yeah, just the internal vibes, I guess you would get.
Yes.
Or the empathetic feelings that you're getting from the whatever is going on.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, so it's not so bad. It's probably not going to eat you in your sleep. Probably not.
No, it's not.
Keep our fingers crossed for you. See if we ever hear from you again. 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hey, hello. My name is Hunter. I live in Ohio, and been a listener now for about 3 months. And I'm in the, you know, ghost stuff like that. And I have a story today. It takes place in Kentucky, Bowling Green, Kentucky. And it was at my grandparents' house. I was staying in a room. It's kind of in the back of the house. It's like most houses have them, like, creepy rooms. And that was the room I was staying in. I never really did like it. It gave me bad vibes. And one night, I was sleeping in my bed. And I was, like, facing the window, and there's a chair by my bed. And I woke up, and it was about 6 o'clock in the morning. I could, like, see the sun start to come up. And I looked over at the chair, and there's, like, a Confederate soldier sitting there, and it really freaked me out. I could see it's, like, uniform type and stuff. But I couldn't really see a face. Like, it was just kind of sitting there. And I blinked a couple times, and it really creeped me out. So I just kind of shut my eyes and then turned the other way because it really scared me. And then I told my grandparents about it in the morning, and they said that the house had been built around a Civil War battleground, one of them, I'm pretty sure. But, yeah, that's the story, and I hope to become an EPP in the future. So, thanks for listening. Bye.
Okay, to me personally, there are few images that I could see as far as ghostly apparitions that would be as scary to me as a Civil War soldier. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, but that's just one of those I'm just like, oh, that gets me every time.
What are you afraid of with it?
I don't know. I do not know why, but it's just one of those things that just, that scares me.
It would be rather unsettling. You probably have no idea what their intent is.
Yeah.
They're sitting in your house.
You know, maybe it's because there's no doubt about it. I mean, unless there's reenactors all over the place, but there's no doubt about it what you're seeing when mm-hmm. you see them in full uniform.
Sure.
You can rationalize away other people. You know, was that a ghost or was that just somebody?
Well, here's an interesting thought, and I am being somewhat silly with this thought, but also somewhat serious at the same time.
Here we go.
This is not too crazy.
You gonna make fun of me?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, I'm wondering now that we are living in a world in a time where there are a lot of reenactors for various things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not just Civil War, and I'm using reenactor that term very loosely. And of course, when I talk about reenactors of Civil War and stuff, there's that. But you have other folks who are into other period type things. Okay. Uh-huh. You have folks who dress like they're pinup girls. You have people, you know, hipsters who dress like they're from that era. Or very, you know, there's all different eras. People like picked eras they like and they dress like it now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So are we going to start having an issue with these ghosts that people are seeing going forward? Like, you know, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, or even less, you know, of people who have died and they're seeing these people who are like, oh my God, the period of clothing that they're looking like they're in is from X period. But no, really, they're from like 2015.
I could see that. I could see that being very confusing when you see a ghost. I mean, you and I've been out to the big flea market.
Yeah.
And there's this couple that wanders around. They're dressed like they're from the 30s.
Yeah.
I kid you not. The only reason I trust that they're not ghosts is because they interact with all kinds of people.
Sure.
But that would be very interesting if they came back. Would they be dressed in that or their 2015 gear?
I don't know.
That's kind of an unusual one to think about, but you're right.
It is kind of a silly thought, but at the same point, it's true.
I mean,
because people in different eras didn't necessarily pick fashion from a previous era, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years back to dress as. They pretty much kept it to the era.
Yeah.
For the most part, you know?
Yeah.
And now where it's like, you know, everybody, you know, pick whatever you like and go for it.
That's true.
It's going to be very, very confusing.
Or people that are really into Mad Men and they kind of gone back to that mid-century look.
I will perpetually look like I'm from 1995. But we think he died in the 90s. We're not quite sure.
Well, we got to get the clothes out of your closet from middle school.
Hey, I like some of those shirts still. I really do. They're still very comfy and the styles have come back in. So there you go.
There you go.
And I still fit into them. Hey, if you like the show, please consider supporting us, keeping us on the air, becoming an EPP, get all those bonus episodes. Lots of good stuff there, plus a brand new one every single week. And there's going to be a whole bunch more new stuff for you every single week beyond just the bonus episode. Video content, all sorts of fun stuff for you coming very soon as we get our new EPP website up and running. Yes, it's more than just an email. We'll have more on that soon. For now, you get all the stuff via email. But when you sign up, just be aware, you'll start having access to that as soon as we open up those floodgates. So be some good stuff there. Only $5 a month. Sign up on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click become an EPP. And we thank you in advance for keeping our show on the air. We love doing it for you. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.